This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why the gap between knowing and doing is the real reason patient hearing fails under pressure. What breaks patient hearing under pressure is not ignorance, it is biology. In short, patient hearing does not fail because people are careless or unkind. It fails because the stress response dismantles listening capacity at the exact moment it is needed most. Closing this gap requires more than awareness. It requires a physical practice that holds under pressure. Knowing how to listen patiently is not the same as being able to do it under stress. Biology creates the gap. Deliberate, repeated practice is the only thing that closes it. The tools must be built before the difficult conversation begins, not improvised during it. Definition: patient hearing fails when the biological stress response overrides a person's capacity to receive, process, and genuinely absorb what another person is saying. It describes the breakdown between the intention to listen and the ability to do so under real emotional pressure. Most people who struggle with patient hearing do not lack the desire to listen well. They come into a difficult conversation with the best of intentions. They remind themselves to stay calm, to hear the other person out, to resist the pull toward their own point. And then, somewhere in the first few minutes, it falls apart. The other person says something that lands badly, and the patient hearing evaporates. What replaces it is a half-listening state, the appearance of attention, while the mind races ahead to a counter-argument, a defense, or an exit. I have watched this happen in meeting rooms, in corridors, and across kitchen tables for 6 decades. The person is not rude. They are not uninterested. They simply cannot hold patient hearing once the pressure climbs past a certain point. Understanding why this happens at a level deeper than try harder or stay present changes how you prepare for it. That is what this article addresses. The biological reason patient hearing collapses when you need it most. Here is the truth of it: when someone says something that triggers your defenses, a part of your brain fires that has no interest in patient hearing. The amygdala, which governs your threat response, does not distinguish between physical danger and a difficult colleague who just questioned your judgment in front of the team. It reads both as threat, and it responds accordingly. What that means in practice is this: the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain responsible for complex listening, empathy, and measured response, loses capacity. Not completely, and not permanently, but enough that what you thought was attentive listening becomes reactive surface-level processing. You hear the words. You miss the meaning. You are present in the room and absent from the conversation. This is what I describe as the amygdala hijack in Say It Right Every Time, and Chapter 4 covers in detail why it makes difficult conversations so hard to navigate even for people who genuinely know better. The hijack does not ask your permission. It does not wait for you to finish your good intentions. It arrives the moment emotional threat crosses a threshold your nervous system has already decided, without consulting you. The cost is specific to patient hearing because listening is the first thing to go. Speaking, you can still do. Defending, you can do very well. But receiving another person's words with genuine openness, sitting inside what they are saying long enough to actually understand it, that requires the part of your brain that is now partially offline. If you want to understand what the amygdala hijack does to a conversation in broader terms, that article covers the mechanism in full. The point for patient hearing is direct. You cannot simply decide your way out of a biological response. You have to prepare a physical countermeasure in advance. Why the knowing-doing gap is wider than you think. In Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe what I call the rehearsal trap. The endless cycle of practicing a difficult conversation perfectly in your head, only to find yourself tongue-tied and fumbling when the real moment arrives. The rehearsal trap is the knowing-doing gap made visible. Most people prepare for difficult conversations by running them mentally. They rehearse their argument. They anticipate the other person's objections and prepare responses. They know what they want to say, and they know, intellectually, that they should listen carefully to the reply. What they do not prepare is the listening itself. This matters for patient hearing in a specific way. A rehearsed response gives you the illusion of preparation without building the muscle you actually need. When the real conversation begins, and the other person says something unexpected, something that diverges from your mental script, your brain loses its footing. Because you rehearsed your output, not your reception, you scramble. And when you scramble, patient hearing is the first thing you sacrifice. The gap between knowing and doing in listening is also wider than in other communication skills, because patient hearing is not visible in the way speaking is. you can hear yourself fumbling over a sentence. You cannot hear yourself stopping to absorb what someone else is saying. The failure is invisible from the inside, which is exactly why it persists. Poor patient hearing rarely announces itself. It simply produces worse outcomes, conversations that go circular, relationships that erode, teams that stop sharing honest information. Understanding why psychological safety drives honest team communication is relevant here, because patient hearing is one of the behaviors that creates or destroys that safety. When people feel heard, they speak more honestly. When patient hearing fails, they learn to withhold. What the breakdown actually looks like in real conversations. Let me give you three situations where patient hearing fails in ways that are easy to miss until you know what to look for. The first is the interruption that disguises itself as contribution. You are sitting with a colleague who is frustrated. They are partway through explaining a concern when you cut in, not rudely, but with what feels like helpful clarification or a solution. You believe you are engaged. What you have actually done is ended their listening experience. The patient hearing collapsed the moment your brain shifted from receiving to solving. The second is the nod in performance. You are listening on the surface eye contact, small nods, the occasional I understand. But underneath, your mind is three sentences ahead, assembling your counterpoint. The other person often senses this, not always consciously, but the quality of the exchange drops. They start editing themselves. They give you less. This is the kind of broken patient hearing that blocks a team's ability to have the difficult conversations it needs, because people stop bringing the real problem to the surface. The third is the one most people find hardest to recognize: defensive listening. You're hearing the words, but you're filtering them through the question, "What does this mean for me?" instead of "What is this person actually trying to say?" Every phrase the other person uses gets translated through your own emotional state. This is patient hearing in the room, but not in a conversation. These three patterns share the same root. They are not failures of character. They are the natural result of a nervous system under stress, doing what nervous systems do. Unmet needs drive much of this conflict, and patient hearing is one of the first casualties when those needs go unacknowledged. Why most people never locate the real problem? The conventional advice around patient hearing is thin. Be present. Don't interrupt. Show empathy. These are not wrong, but they treat the symptom and ignore the cause. Telling someone to be more present during a difficult conversation is, as I say and say it right every time, like telling someone to just be confident when they're nervous and intimidated. It is not actionable advice. It points at the destination without mapping the road. Most people who struggle with patient hearing under pressure are not failing because they do not value listening. They are failing because nobody has ever explained to them that listening is a physical capacity that degrades under stress, and that the degradation happens faster than conscious awareness tracks. By the time you notice your patient hearing has gone, it left several exchanges ago. There's also a second reason the real problem stays hidden. Patient hearing failure is almost always attributed to the wrong cause. The person who interrupted assumes they were too eager. The person who nodded blankly assumes they were distracted. The person listening defensively assumes they were just tired. None of them locate the stress response as the source. So the next time they face a difficult person, they try the same thing slightly harder, and the same breakdown happens. Delivering a neutral problem statement is one technique that lowers the emotional charge before it reaches the point where patient hearing collapses. But that technique only works if patient hearing holds long enough to receive the other person's response honestly. You need the listening capacity in place before the conversation begins, or the tools that follow it have nowhere to land. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How the core framework addresses the gap directly. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the core framework as the foundation for every successful difficult conversation. It is a four-pillar model, and patient hearing sits inside it not as a soft virtue, but as a structured practice. The framework operates on the 70/30 principle. 70% of what makes it work are practical, word-for-word tools, and 30% is the psychology that explains why those tools are necessary. What the core framework does for patient hearing specifically is give it a structure that survives pressure. Instead of relying on intention, it gives your preset system a way of entering the conversation, a method for regulating your own emotional state before the other person says anything that might trigger it, and a discipline for responding rather than reacting. This is the difference between carrying an idea and carrying a tool. The practical consequence of this is significant. Scripts function as training wheels precisely because they reduce cognitive load. When you are not working to find the words in real time, you have more capacity to actually listen. Patient hearing improves not because you try harder, but because you arrive with less to manage. The scripts in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time are designed with this in mind. They carry the speaking so your attention can stay with the listening. Empathy bridges and team communication serve a related function. They signal to that other person that their words have landed. But you can only build an empathy bridge if patient hearing was intact enough to actually receive what was said. The bridge depends on the listening. The listening depends on the preparation. Closing the gap. What you can actually do before the conversation. The compound effect applies directly to patient hearing. Small, consistent improvements in how you listen under pressure accumulate into a substantially different skill over time. This is one of the central principles in Chapter 16 of Say It Right Every Time. What changed wasn't my personality. It wasn't some sudden insight. It was practice. It was having one difficult conversation, then another, then another. Here is what that practice looks like for patient hearing specifically. First, prepare your listening, not just your lines. Before a difficult conversation, spend 2 minutes deciding what you're listening for the other person's core concern, not just their words. This shifts your attention from defensive monitoring to genuine reception before the exchange begins. Second, build a reset cue. Choose a physical anchor, a slow breath through the nose, pressing your feet flat to the floor, or setting your hands open on the table. Practice this anchor in low-stakes situations until it is automatic. When the amygdala fires, you need a physical lever, not a mental instruction. Third, use the 3-second rule. Commit to waiting 3 seconds after the other person finishes before you speak. This is not politeness theatre. It is a deliberate interruption of the reactive cycle. 3 seconds is enough time for the prefrontal cortex to re-engage and for patient hearing to reassert itself. Fourth, debrief your listening after difficult conversations. Ask yourself honestly, at which point did I stop receiving and start defending? This is not self-criticism. It is the reflection that turns experience into improvement. Psychological safety enables this kind of honest self-assessment in teams. But the habit starts with you doing it privately first. The compound effect works in both directions, as the book notes. Avoided practice compounds into brittleness. Each conversation where patient hearing holds, even partially, builds the capacity for the next one. That is the entire premise, not perfection, but accumulated strength. Frequently asked questions. Why does patient hearing fail under pressure? Patient hearing fails under pressure because emotional stress triggers the amygdala, which reduces access to the rational brain. When you feel threatened or frustrated, your capacity to genuinely absorb what someone else is saying drops sharply, even when you believe you're still listening. What is the gap between knowing and doing in patient hearing? The knowing-doing gap in patient hearing is the difference between understanding that you should listen carefully and actually being able to do it when emotions run high. Biology, not intent, creates this gap. The stress response physically reduces your listening capacity before you realize it has happened. How do you practice patient hearing before a difficult conversation? The most effective preparation is rehearsal under simulated pressure, not just mental review. Practice your listening posture, your breathing, and a reset phrase you can use silently when you feel the urge to interrupt. Repetition builds the physical habit so it holds when real tension arrives. Can patient hearing be sustained with difficult people? Yes, but only with deliberate preparation. Patient hearing with a difficult person requires more than good intentions. It requires a preset internal system, a cue to slow your breath, a habit of letting 3 seconds pass before responding, and a method for naming your own emotional state silently before reacting. What does the amygdala hijack have to do with failing to listen patiently? When the amygdala fires in response to perceived threat, it reduces blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that manages complex listening and rational response. This is why you can feel calm before a difficult exchange and lose patient hearing within the first 60 seconds of real tension. How does the rehearsal trap undermine patient hearing? The rehearsal trap is practicing a conversation perfectly in your head, then arriving at the real exchange unprepared for what the other person actually says. Because you rehearsed your responses, not your listening, you stop hearing when reality diverges from the script you prepared. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.